Right now, it's more of substance because Steny Hoyer is still the majority leader. You still have a budget pending for this next fiscal year that it could possibly be resolved in the next couple of weeks. They may just go through a continuing resolution. So I think it certainly has some relevance, and I think it's important, if nothing else, than to show the flag.
Now, obviously, you mentioned Steny Hoyer, but also you also have the fact that David Obey is leaving as well. He is retired. He's not going to be...
But he's still there. You know, he's still the chairman. And they may do this next year's budget before they leave. That is still a possibility. So if they do that, they actually have an opportunity to put that into the appropriation bills if they end up with a resolution, what we call an omnibus. If they just go with a continuing resolution and buck it over till February or March, I think you have to say, as far as the House goes, it's probably not going to have the same relevance. It'll have Frank Wolf, who's a member of the Appropriations Committee and plays a key role. The Democratic leaders at that point are going to have very little say in what happens.
Now, obviously, when this is very interesting that they got all together. It's a group of the local congressmen, local leaders to push back against this two-year freeze. What would your advice be to both federal employees, to other lawmakers, to your old colleagues about pushing back against this and the other proposals we're hearing, for instance, through the Deficit Commission?
Well, there are a lot of proposals. Look, underlying all of this is the fact that this year and last year, for every dollar the federal government spent, they borrowed 41 cents. I think we all understand that's an unsustainable model. That something has to give and something has to change. I think, you know, from a federal employee perspective, it would be a lot more understanding if they saw, well, maybe not everybody gets their tax cuts and I'll take my hit on the salaries and we're cutting back and spending in other areas and you're part of a total package. But what you see right now when you take a look at Congress is you see the fact that yesterday Congress the agreement with the Obama administration and the Republican leaders is their tax cuts are going to continue for at least 2 years. Unemployment benefits are going to continue. Docs are going to get their fix on Medicare for the next 13 months. You have an AMT patch that's going through. Businesses are getting a rate reduction on what they pay in FICA taxes. There's a vote up tomorrow in the House to give every senior on Social Security a $250 check, despite the fact that the formulas under which the cost of living allowances are allocated shows that they ought to get a reduction, not a check. And so it looks like everybody else is at the buffet table, and you're going over there putting federal employees on a diet. And under those circumstances, it's kind of hard to swallow. I think if you're part of a larger plan that you're sincere about reducing the deficit, we understand that you can't continue to borrow the way we are. It's put in a different context, but that's not the context that this is put together right now. We're looking at hiring freezes. We're looking at cutting pay. And I think under those circumstances, there are some long-term ramifications to the federal workforce that are not good.
So if you're out and about and someone sees Tom Davis and says, Tom, what do I do? How do I deal with this fact that I am facing all these different challenges? And as you said, everyone's at the buffet and I'm on a diet. What's your advice to them?
Well, let's make sure our political leaders are responding to this the right way. If we're going to freeze pay, let's make sure it's going for deficit reduction. And at this point, it's not part of any package that's reducing the deficit. Now, if anything, deficits are going up and money and tax cuts are being utilized in other areas at the expense of federal employees. And I think that's what makes it difficult to understand. But this still has to play out. Congress still has to approve this. The administration can't just do this by fiat.
Is there enough push in Congress or enough momentum around these that we're going to see not just a pay freeze, but a cut in benefits, a change in health care? I mean, do you think all that's going to get through? Or based on your experience, based on your decade plus in Congress, there's always a lot of talk about it, but there's no, in the end.
Oh, no, I think it's pretty serious this time. I think federal employees are on the chopping block. I think the administration has put them front and center because they're afraid to address other areas. They're afraid to go to areas where there is greater spending increases, where spending in some cases is out of control because there are a lot of votes to be lost in those areas. When it comes to federal employees, I think that the administration assumes they're going to be with them anyway. It's a much smaller group than it would be going after your entitlement programs of Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security that go, in some cases, right to their political base.
It's interesting. You know, we've been writing a lot about it on Federal News Radio, federalnewsradio.com. We've been talking about it, and there's a lot of support from federal employees. A lot of them say, I'll do my share. I'm happy to do my share, but as long as it's a share and not the full, I'm not carrying the full load.
Yeah.
And then I'm talking to some former feds who say, well, listen, even if you cut, if you freeze pay, there's no money savings because, in fact, when Congress approves a raise, they don't approve more money. agencies have to take it out of their hide, meaning the salaries and expenses to deal with the raise anyways. So isn't this really all just, in many ways, you know, the emperor has no clothes?
Well, to some extent, you're right. Traditionally, when Congress has appropriated money for raises, it has been eaten out of the federal budgets themselves rather than additional money appropriated. Of course, you build that into the base, so it goes into the retirement system and the government ends up paying more over the long term. It's not really free, and those costs could be absorbed doing other things than taking up federal salaries. But as a practical matter, there's not that much savings when it comes to just freezing federal employees' salaries when you compare it to where you could get greater savings. That's in the Defense Department. That's in Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Those are really the big items at this point where you have a lot of spending. And yes, federal employees are being singled out because they're a smaller constituency at this point. They tend, for the most part, to be a relatively Democratic, safe constituency where you're not going to get many defections, at least not compared to the defections you'd get if you start touching Medicare and Medicaid. And so politically, they are probably of a list of difficult choices, the most vulnerable. I don't think this is it's going to pass over this time and go away. I think the debt issues the country faces are serious enough that, and this is probably politically palatable enough to the majority of members of Congress who don't have large numbers of federal employees in their districts, that it will probably stick. But we'll see. They tried to do these things when I was in the Congress as well. In some years, they would try to give differential raises for military versus civilian employees. But it was a different time and a different era and a different administration. And what we've seen with this administration and their political base is a little bit not what could have been predicted. Who would have thought that the administration with the first African-American president, a Democratic president, wouldn't have championed voting rights for the District of Columbia, which for the first time ever passed in the U.S. Senate, but they couldn't get it through the House. The president wouldn't give it a push, even though in the past it's passed the House and failed in the Senate. And the House is even more Democratic to today. There were some gun amendments and some lobbying that took place that didn't make this an easy transition, but it didn't make it a priority. Federal employees are finding at the same time that they've been taken for granted in the coalition as well, and they're being singled out this time. And it's I think it's going to be very, very difficult at this point to overturn it. But we have a strong, able, bipartisan delegation from the Washington area that have succeeded in the past, and we just keep our fingers crossed that at a minimum, if the federal employees are going to have a two-year pay freeze, if you're going to have hiring freezes, maybe the pain will be felt across the board in other areas and you make meaningful deficit reduction. At this point, that doesn't appear to be the case.
There's some concern about pay cuts. Some of the Republicans in Congress have called for pay cuts for federal employees. That's an option, but is it a real option, do you think?
I don't think pay cuts are a real option at all. I think some of these members need to understand the way business and government work. That, you know, you start giving people pay cuts, you're going to lose. You have a huge brain drain in your ability to get things done. That doesn't mean you won't have somebody out there shooting their mouth off about it, but I don't think that's likely.